Lord, Father, thank you today for the word of God. Let's ask that we, your people, come before you and receive your word into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Thank you for giving us the Holy Spirit to teach us all things of Jesus, to bring to remembrance the things that you have said, and to lead us and guide us into all truth. We take heart, Lord, concerning our day and age in which we live, how valuable it is to know that this book has rescued the church from a different gospel over and over throughout the ages. Thank you for the wisdom and understanding that you impart to us by the Holy Spirit. Lord, keep us from evil. Thank you and praise you. And Lord, we want to know and understand you. So we ask that you would teach us today by the Holy Spirit. And this we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Book of Galatians, chapter 1. Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren who are with me, grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. As we undertake the study of the letter that Paul wrote to the churches in Galatia, and taking heart concerning how important it is in our day and age. Now, again, it's been said that if you take the Bible out of its context, you can make it a pretext, and you can make it say whatever you want to make it say. And I find it particularly interesting and therefore also a necessity to understand the context because of verse 6. He says, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel. Quite possibly within 15 years of Paul having arrived in the churches of Galatia. So Lystra, Iconium, Derbe, that's the southern part of what would be known as Galatia. It's Acts chapter 14. It's Paul coming forth on that first missionary journey. On his second time through, he would pass through the northern parts of Galatia. But this is that whole region of the churches there. And again, it doesn't read this way, like, oh, I thank God for you. How many letters do we read, I thank God that your faith is being spoken of in the whole world? No, this becomes important because this letter, he says, I'm astonished. Or again, I wonder, or I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel. Now, we take up this understanding, and I invite you to find your way over to Acts chapter 15. It's important for us to understand history, the context. See, when Paul writes, again, the letter to the churches of Galatia, we shouldn't be surprised to find that not many believers make it 15 years. If you listen closely to what I just said, I can sit and talk with you over those that come for a time and receive the grace of God and receive and called in Christ, and they walk here for 6, 7, 8 years, and then something comes up in their life, and they're gone. Oh, not from church, gone from him who called them in that grace. See, it's an important, I believe, it's so important that this was Martin Luther's favorite book of the Bible. Him, right? You think of, well, him, Martin Luther in history, we're not Lutherans, and again, I really like what Chuck Smith said about Calvary Chapel. He says, don't ever be called Smithians. Because, and if you look at verse 1 with Paul, he says, not from men, nor through man. And I find this marveling and turning away so soon. It could happen so quickly. Along comes something or someone who troubles the church over the truth that is in Jesus. Why is it important today? Because never before in history has absolutely everything been available to every person on the planet. Again, just no matter how it gets to you in this handheld device that we call a phone, but it's certainly much more than a phone. Just think of how many people now don't even use the phone for the phone. Yeah. And you understand Acts 15. It happens with or without the internet, but the internet, this thing can spread. Social media, again, ideas, thoughts, philosophies, bad doctrines. They spread. Acts 15, certain men came down from Judea, taught the brethren. Again, this is why it's important. Unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. See, certain men crept in unawares. That's what Jude tells the church. When he wanted to write the church concerning our common salvation, why can't we all just love each other and get along? It's necessary to warn. Paul tells the church, the elders of Ephesus, from Miletus, when he calls them and he's just passing by, and he imparts to them, and he says, I warned you day and night with tears. There are going to be those that come in from the outside, and there's going to be those that come up from within, and they're going to lead you away from Christ. You know, and we just studied the second letter to the Corinthians, and Paul warns them that they might well put up with a different gospel. He saw in them that their rejection of the true apostle, liking to have men come in and liking the perception that they were smart or they were apostolic looking or they were hip, trendy, might be the way we'd say it today. Or they have 176,000 followers on their Instagram. Now I'm here to, right, shepherd the flock of God that's among me. And I don't do that by being compelled to it. I do that willingly. And I offer this up. Paul the Apostle, he describes certain men came down from Judea, taught the brethren, you cannot be saved unless you are circumcised and keep the custom of Moses. Therefore, when Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and dispute with them. See, I think it's very important that you would understand the disposition that is necessary for a shepherd to fight off a wolf. And I look at this when I read Paul and Barnabas, the son of encouragement has sharp teeth, if I may say that about Barnabas. You understand what's going on is the churches, again, as Paul is writing this, this happened. Others came in and changed this gospel of Jesus Christ. No small dissension disputed with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain others of them should go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and elders about this question. So seemingly you would say, oh, Acts 15, this should all be over, but it's not. I marvel that you are turning away from him who called you in this grace. So again, you look at this phrase, turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel. Now, backtracking here a little bit, why I now take this introduction, because I want to get you to verse 6 and let you know that the internet, you know, YouTube, doing a search, asking a question. I mean, I like to do it for fun. And I just like, I put in this morning in my background, again, I call it research, how can a man be saved? And so these things that would return, and where do you get your answers from? And my part for all of you, again, this is where I'm on my knees praying for you, that you would all read your Bibles, that this study of Galatians would come in this way. And even now as you're going through this and you're hearing me in the introduction talk, it's that you need to read your Word. We will gather together two times this week for time of instruction and teaching in the Word. We'll do it on Sunday, where we'll open up the Scriptures and we'll study the Scriptures and we'll draw that out and we'll listen and we'll pray together, and again, as we study and consider to apply for our lives for what the Word of God would enter into our hearts and have its effective working by the Holy Spirit to transform us into the likeness of Christ and keep us from going another way. That'll happen today, and we're in it right now. And then we'll come back again on the midweek. You know, again, we do ours on Wednesday night, and there's no like, well, Sunday is better than another day. That's not what I'm saying, or well, Wednesday better than Thursday. The point is, you need the Word of God. Now this is on my heart as I look at this, because I'm pretty certain that the rest of you will be in some sort of environment where other ideas, thoughts, either from people or websites or advertising or if I would call it the bombardment of Satan, launching all these manner of flaming arrows that are designed to actually penetrate, right, your heart to get your faith to doubt. This is Paul writing to the churches of Galatia. Oh, he was killed there, if you believe that, where he was stoned and then came back to life, or he was stoned and didn't die, whichever way you want to count it. And what does he do? He gets back up in, goes into the city, and strengthens the brethren. Now, I believe him when he said to the Corinthians in chapter 12, I would gladly spend and be spent for your souls. Now, I offer up this gospel that Paul references. Paul, an apostle, not for men nor through man. Just wear that as a badge, right? I'm saved by Jesus Christ. My salvation doesn't come through, right? Does not come through a church. I like when people say that, you know, it's like, well, so the church has saved nobody. But those that are saved are called out of the world and called to assemble in Jesus' church, and it belongs to him, and he purchased. And this truth of this gospel that Paul brought forth, and he lays it out. He says, "This I'm an apostle. I'm an apostle of Jesus Christ. No man called me to this. It didn't come from man nor through man. This was not done by man." I just offer up to you this, the words of our Lord, challenging the Pharisees, who, again, if you understand it, Paul being a Pharisee, this works well. The Pharisees believed that they were separated unto God. They did it outwardly. They wore the right robes of, you know, and the fake righteousness or the outward righteousness. The Lord cut right through to them and says, but your inside is not right. I mean, to me, one of the most hypocritical things that could unfold in this would be to repeat that which didn't work for another and be brought into a bondage that didn't free them up. And that's what Acts 15 ultimately is about. We, being Jews who could not keep the law, why would we put that on to the Gentiles that they need to become Jewish to be saved and then they can receive their Messiah? See, I offer up to us, again, how important it is that we would all understand this, which Paul, as an apostle, writes. He says, this is through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. And you take your time to realize this resurrection from the dead is absolutely astounding and amazing. Never before had it ever happened that one who was dead for 3 days, right, would rise again, and then hear this phrase, never more to die. Never more to die. The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. It's the heart of the gospel. The heart of the gospel that Paul, again, describing it, where he got this from, and he says, and all the brethren who are with me. It's these same brethren that he writes to, and he writes to Timothy, he writes to Titus, and then those letters, like Paul wrote to these guys, how they're to conduct themselves. And that which they heard, learned, saw, that was in Paul and how Paul lived. And to me, we have this great opportunity to be a church that remains loyal, right, and true, okay, to the one who saved us. No church saved anybody. And you catch this context. And the brethren who are with me, to the churches of Galatia, grace and peace. Grace to you, peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, common repeating. Again, not going to comment too much on that here this morning, other than to say this. This is about God's grace. This ultimately is this is the heart. Again, Paul says to the Ephesian church, he says, saved by grace through faith. This grace of God that has come to you, this gift of salvation that was granted unto you by believing in the Son of God who died on the cross and rose again. Placing your trust that by believing in him, he would save you from sin, death, and hell. Grace to you and peace from God. Peace from God, peace that passes understanding. Jesus said it this way, our Lord said, not as the world gives do I give unto you. Because in this world you're going to have peace, right? No, wait, you have trouble. See, and this is what it comes down to. Verse 4, who gave himself for our sins. Now, we love John 3:16, that part of the gospel, how God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And now you get the son's side of that equation where Jesus gave himself for our sins. Don't you love that? He said, well, the Father gave the Son. Well, the Son gave himself. It's not meant to which one gave more. They both gave all. See, and you come to this place of God. Again, you think of how you would measure religions of the world, and you'd say, well, I'm going to limit to just explore the big ones that seemingly, it has to have a certain size to have any validity of anybody even following it. And if there's a large number of people believing and following this, well, let's explore it and check it out. And the reality is, if you do that and you say you narrow it down to five and you look at all their systems and you look at this and say, all of them, right, that are from man have the same thing in common. See, and this is where Paul says, this isn't from man. See, all of the religions that are from man put upon mankind that they must work to get right with God or get up to God. If you think of drawing it men on earth, God in heaven, how does man get to God? And the religions of the world give a series of works, again, sacrifices, practices, daily bowing down five times in a particular direction, or a list of, again, rites or orders that you must do. And yet there's this true one that was from God that Paul revealed he received, and that's what he took out, this gospel of Jesus Christ, that it's God in heaven who has reached down to man. God closed the gap instead of works closing the gap, where man works up to God, where God sends his only begotten Son, and by the grace of God, he brings life to mankind. You know, when you think about this, why it's so important, it's important because in 15 years after the Apostle Paul, in 30 years after Jesus himself has been on the earth, we're talking recent history, and they're already turning aside to a heteros, right, gospel, good news, a different good news, which is not good news, and this is the instruction. Jesus gave himself for our sins. Now, husbands, right? This is what Ephesians 5 is all about. Husbands are to love their wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. Again, Paul, this is the great mystery that he would present unto himself a glorious church. And here, Paul writing to the Galatians, he says, how could you turn away from the one who by grace gave himself for your sins? Because if you don't understand this key issue, what Paul's going to lay out here, and again, as we study this letter to the Galatians, and it's really my challenge today, how are your sins forgiven? How did this come to you? How did you get right with God? Well, Paul, writing to the Corinthians, says you did an exchange. You exchanged your sin-filled life in exchange for his righteous perfection. That came by the grace of God. It wasn't your idea saying, okay, God, I've been doing all these things and I'm a pretty good person. Will you give me your righteousness? No, in fact, you're already insisting what? I can be righteous on my own. See, this puts us today, again, Jesus gave himself for our sins that he might rescue us, okay, deliver us. Now listen closely on this. It's the same word that Jesus uses, that if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. Same word. You see, and he gave himself for our sins that he might pluck us out, right, from this present evil age. Now, it's again kind of fun in the grammar if you like these things. And, you know, if I say that's a barking dog, well, barking's a verb, but I just gave a word picture to you of what that dog is like. Or it's a roaring lion. You think of Satan prowling about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You have verbs that are descriptive. This is the word present is a verb. Present evil age. Age is the, like we would understand, an eon or a thing of time. And this is the truth that Paul is laying out to the church. Jesus gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil age. Now, what did Jesus say? I'm not in the world, right? I'm in the world, but I'm not of the world. That's cosmos. Different word for world. Sometimes this gets age gets translated world. That he might, right, deliver us from this present evil age. Evil's not going away. Do you hear this? Evil is not going away until when? Until there's a new heaven and a new earth. Even into the millennium, you understand that when Jesus rules and reigns, evil is kept under by this rod, this rod of iron in which Jesus rules, again, in that complete authority in the millennium. And describing this, that Jesus gave himself for our sins to rescue us, just like, how could you say, my eyes keep lusting after the things of this world? What did Jesus teach? If your eye causes you to sin, he says what? Pluck it out. The only way I get delivered from this is if I remove my eye, because the world around me is not changing. All the things in the world, all that's in the world, lust of the flesh, lust of eyes, pride of life, again, that's not the love of the Father, that's of the world. This is the context. Only Jesus could rescue my eye from sinning, if you catch the context. Because this present, again, is just with us, according to the will of God our Father. Now, side note, right? But germane to us. Okay? Side note, but germane to us. We sing a song, and it's a great song, and we talk about no sweeter name than the name of Jesus. I was like, if they sing that one this morning, because I got this all prepared. No sweeter name than the name of Jesus. I mean, you can put this in verse 4. There is no sweeter name than the name of Jesus who did what? Gave himself for our sins. There's no other name. Right? No circumcision gave himself for your sins. It's a person. You know, you have to turn away from a him. You have to turn away from Jesus. No sweeter name than the name of Jesus. And we sing that song, and we talk about him. You know, it's like I got to think of, I didn't write the lyrics down. No sweeter name than the name of Jesus. And then we sing something about the darkness around us. How do the words go? You are the light
to my heart and
my heart and my soul.
You're
the light to the darkness around me. And we were at men's retreat. And the Holy Spirit says, in the context of what we're coming to the light and we're no longer going to walk in darkness, and the Holy Spirit says, it's the evil within. Now, you consider this rescue from, if we're in sin, we're in darkness. Jesus is the light of the world. And as he comes in and he has this entrance in this way, and so the churches of Galatia, why is this an important letter? Because they had to turn away from Jesus to go get something else. Didn't matter what it was. And again, it's just a great lesson that if anything in my life causes me to do less for Jesus and less with Jesus and I'm not compelled by his love and I'm not drawn to him and in his love, then that whatever that thing is that came in has turned me away from Jesus. And you could, you know, do your study here on backsliding. It's all in verse 4. And verse 6, and so I just offer this up. It's this evil age, it's present with you. Okay? The only thing that saved me or delivered me or rescued me from the evil that's in me and all around me was Jesus. And how does he give that to me? By his grace. By the grace of God. Now, there's a contrast here in 4 and 5, and I hope to get through chapter 1, but at this rate, who knows? I could talk for hours about Scripture with you. But I want to hand this off to you. Present evil age. You should hear there, temporary. You hear that? Only for a time. I will be enduring in this environment for a time. I'll be enduring in this evil all around me, but it's Jesus who rescued me. Think about it. If you pluck your eye out because it's causing you to sin, what are you saying? You're saying, I can't control what my eyes look at, so it's better to not look. Right? Sin had such a hold on me that only Jesus actually changed me from within by his grace that I didn't even desire to do that sin anymore. Circumcision doesn't do that. This is the context. There's no amount of rules, regulations, you know, that you can write that keeps that inner desire from sin. Only Jesus does that. I marvel that you were... Okay, back to this. My bad. Verse 5. I got all excited. Verse 5. To whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. This is the way in the grammar, using the same root word, like we would say an eon of time. Now he says it's temporary. In the earth, present evil, age, versus age without end. Future glory in heaven with God, age without end. Glory forever and ever. And again, we could say and ever and ever and ever. We haven't changed the grammar. Right? Without end. I love studying heaven. And again, if you caught it today, the Spirit in us is crying out, Jesus, come. I mean, 2,000 years he's been, right, in heaven, just waiting to come. And this is where this is at. I can go through the list of men and women who've turned away, some so soon, after a couple months, some after 6 years, after getting through most of the trouble, and along comes back an old lust and takes them away. I marvel so soon. Verse 7, he says, which is not another. Different gospel. How can a different gospel be a gospel? You think of the world we live in, that we use terms like insanity, but we shouldn't find it insane. We should understand the depth of the darkness and the wickedness and the evil of mankind that's in the heart. Again, way back to Genesis, in men's heart to do evil continually. And so we shouldn't find it a strange thing that a world would be insistent that a man could become a woman or a woman could become a man. We shouldn't find that a strange thing. Because you say, well, that's not a man. See, a woman born a woman is always going to be a woman. Just, again, we're using logic. But the world is saying something different. And so a gospel that is no longer good news is not a gospel. That's bad news. See, and this is what Paul says. You know, the gospel with which I gospeled you. Right? I mean, that's literally what he says in this letter. He says that this is not another gospel, but it's important. Verse 7 describes this. It's not good news, so it's not a gospel. Salvation by works is not a gospel. Salvation by works is works. It's not grace. We're going to cover this in Galatians. And the warning is, and again, why I'm so passionate about this, in 2004, my first pastor's, Calvary Chapel Pastor's Conference, Pastor Chuck opens up the Bible to Galatians 3, entitled Continue in the Spirit, and he warns, O foolish Galatians, O foolish Calvary Chapel pastors, why do you seek to perfect in the flesh which was begun in the Spirit? See, and you need to understand, because I don't want any of you turning away. There's always these components. There are some who would trouble you. This is why I take you to Acts 15. Certain men from Judea came up, we know them as the Judaizers, and they troubled the believers. Now, the best way I can illustrate this to you is we had some members from the Seventh-day Adventist Church doing some of their door-to-door evangelism and coming by our neighborhood. This is now probably 10 years ago. And coming out and just start talking with them, and they start to offer these things. Hey, I'm a believer, and I start to just expound upon this. And then the guy I'm talking to wants to talk to me about Leviticus 11. Eating clean, as he calls it. And I said, so help me out here. I just described unto you, I am filled up with the love of God and God's grace. I'm abounding in his grace over my sin, and I am completely free, and I have absolute liberty. And you want me to now eat a certain diet? I said, how is that adding to what I have? I'm already free, and I'm describing this love and this grace of God that's abounding in my life. See, there's always this equation, there are some who trouble you. Now, I'm not even stating that the guy who came and talked to me isn't saved. I don't know that. All I know is that I am already free and overflowing and bubbling over with love and grace. And I said, so help me out here. So if I'm in the Vietnam War era and I'm a Christian and I'm a prisoner of war, and all there is to eat is an unclean rat, that if I eat that rat, I'm going to hell. So help me out here. And the guy, he's just confounded. And I'm like, I'm not going to hell over what I ate. And I know that. And so these are the things that Paul gives us context. It's, there's always someone to trouble you. Again, in this church, you know, 6-8 months ago, not even that long ago, I've been watching this on YouTube, and now I'm troubled with understanding grace, and I'm understanding, like, is it election? Is it free will? And again, the long-standing one. And I'm not going to talk much about that today. But it's just like these things, there's always this component of some who wants to trouble you and wants to pervert the gospel of Christ. Jesus and anything. See, it does not say in verse 4 that Jesus gave himself for our sins and you must keep the sacraments. Okay? Now just offering that up, what it does say, right, is that there are those who would trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. So when you find another believer, are you right there with them, nurturing the life of Christ in them, stirring them up, encouraging them? Have you believed and received Jesus? Tell me about the gospel. How did you receive the gospel? There was some other door-to-door evangelism going on in Moorhead. My wife was there, and this was a group of believers going door-to-door to find out and care about another soul, and they're going door-to-door. And then young people, this young gal comes to my family, Can I share the gospel of Jesus Christ with you? And she's like, of course you can. Listens to the whole thing, listens, and then encourages her, thank you for sharing. Now, I am a believer. I have received that same gospel that Jesus died on the cross and rose again. And then there's that source of encouragement. How many times have you met believers out there and you start to share the gospel with them and they're the crankiest people out there? Oh, I already know that. Or you go out and do an outreach, and you're just, you says Jesus saves on your back, and Jesus for North Dakota, and someone, what church do you go to? Oh, we're not a part of you. So, well, don't you have Jesus in your heart? I mean, see, I marvel that the church has turned out the way it has over time, and that there are so many who have turned away from the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul says it this way. He says that even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you, what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. Let him be anathema. The sacrifice chosen for the, if you think about the scapegoat, so you have the scapegoat where the sins are laid upon the scapegoat and then sins are separated out into the wilderness. But you then have the scapegoat that carries the sin away, but you have the other one who by lot becomes anathema. They're the sacrifice for sin. What's Paul saying? It's a curse. He says, anybody comes with a different gospel. Moroni, right? Another angel from, well, of course every angel is going to say they're from heaven. Right? Which angel says I'm from hell? Well, even Satan doesn't say he's, you catch this. An angel from heaven comes and preaches another gospel, let him be accursed. As we have said before, now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. Now, find your way back to 1 Corinthians 15. Just a few pages back to the left. What gospel? I'm glad you asked. Saved by grace through faith, right? It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Not of works, or else you wouldn't be saved. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you, 1 Corinthians 15:1, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which you stand. What can you do with the gospel of Jesus Christ? You can do one of two things with it. You can receive it or reject it. It causes all kinds of people all kinds of trouble. You mean you would have the, you know, you could reject? Yeah, you could reject. See, look at this. Brethren, right? Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received in which you stand. This good news, right? This gospel message, this gospel declaration, by which you also are saved. So, again, you are saved by receiving this good news. If you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. Now, what does that mean? Well, if someone came in and got someone onto a different gospel and they no longer believed what they had received but now rejected it, that causes all kinds of people trouble. What do you mean it cannot happen? Can that not happen? Paul says there's a continuance. You received it and you hold fast the word. And really, it's not to say, well, then they never were saved, or were they saved? And we get so confused because it's not our department. We want it to be our department where we know what everybody is and not. But the reality here, he says, here's the gospel. I delivered to you, first of all, which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. That's the heart. Isaiah 52 and 53, suffering Messiah, that God would have the Messiah, the Father would lay upon him the iniquity of us all, and the Messiah would go to the cross and suffer and die, but he's dying for the sin of the world, the sacrifice for sin. Revealed by revelation, Paul says, I received that Christ died for our sins. I like that it's according to the scriptures. That's how you can test a revelation. And that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. That gospel, that's the one Paul's talking about. This he says, if anybody changes that or comes with a different, adds, takes away, again, this whole understanding has got to be, Paul says, if anyone comes with anything else, he places a curse upon him. If you will here, a double curse. He says, if I come back to you with a different gospel, let me be accursed. He says, for do I now persuade men or God? If this came from man, then what are you always going to be doing? John the Baptist's ministry, is it from God or is it from man? See, that's where this started today with me in my heart and my mind. John is preaching repentance in preparation for the Messiah to come, that the people of Israel would receive their Messiah because the places in their hearts had been prepared through repentance that they needed the Messiah to save them. Okay? The Pharisees rejected him, right? The Sadducees rejected him. All the religious organization rejected him. And Jesus' question, was it from God or was it from man? And they reasoned among themselves, well, we better not say from God because all the people believed John was a prophet and the people were going to then stone or reject the religious leaders. He said, but if we say from God, then Jesus is going to say to them, why didn't you repent and believe him? See, and this is this gospel. And this is the way Paul says it. If it's from man, I'm always going to be busy persuading men. Okay? Circumcision. You know, again, rules. Works. He says, or do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. So along come those who say you're not saved unless you're circumcised. And if Paul yields to them and says, you guys have a good point there. Let me reason that through. See, then he's trying to please men. If Jesus has said to you, and you know exactly what he has said to you, and you have it in the scriptures, and then what he said to you, again, and how can a man come in and take that away from you? That's the context. If I pleased men, I would not be a slave of Christ. This is the heart of understanding of the exchange, that when he has purchased you, he's paid the price. Or if it's a sense of honor, I was dying, right? I was under this death sentence. Jesus saved me, and he gave his life to me to save me. Now I give my life to him, bondservant. A slave by love and desire for the rest of my days. Not, I'll see how this goes in 10 or 15 years, see if something better comes along. Or if I had yielded one moment to, like, you mean to tell me my life could be better if I would stop eating pork? You got to be kidding me. Because that's also against Leviticus 11. I just offer this up to you. Okay? With great passion, Paul's writing to the church, and I'm glad he wrote it, because there's probably now, we talk about 40,000 different denominations of Christians. I mean, do you understand this? Everybody's got their own view and angle and thought on, again, private interpretation of Scripture regarding prophecy is a no-no, according to Peter. He says there is no private interpretation of Scripture concerning this prophecy. What's the prophecy? Jesus is coming back. Very simple, right? Very straightforward. This is, again, the one who came and died on the cross and rose again. He's alive, ascends into heaven. Again, the witness and testimony is that Jesus went up in the clouds to heaven. He's going to return in the same way. Again, what's the prophecy of interpreting the return of Jesus Christ? He's coming. Is it a private coming? No. The whole world's going to see as lightning from east to west. See, this place of coming to this truth, right? Verse 11, I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which is preached by me is not according to man. 40,000 denominations. Is there any teaching of man in the 40,000 denominations? Absolutely. What are we always trying to sort out? Get me to the Scriptures. Search the Scriptures. Pray, study, read. I want to know what God says. Just that sincere desire to receive His Word, let it come into our hearts, change us, and then follow Him in it. And this is really my appeal to all of us. And, you know, that effort to, like, see what Paul did. He says, this gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. He says, I did not receive it from man, nor was I taught it. Okay? It came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. So you hear closely, he says, again, he studied. It did not come through his studies. It wasn't his rabbi. Do you know that there are rabbis today who say, well, because Jesus taught this, he was of this school of rabbis. Yet the Bible said, Son of God, in fact, the testimony of the Scripture was, how does Jesus know this stuff seeing he hasn't studied? Revelation. And I like this, that God chose it this way to hide this from the muckety-mucks of learning and revealed this to babes. This is revelation. Even a child can receive this revelation of this gospel. He says, I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it. It came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. No eye has seen, no ear has heard. It has not entered the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. Or again, those who wait for him, as it's a quote from Isaiah. That these things are only, again, sought out by the Holy Spirit. Revelation of Jesus Christ. Paul now puts the personal side to this. It's an important personal side to the Galatians, because when he came to the churches in that region, he was preaching Christ crucified. He was preaching remission of sins. Your sins can be forgiven. He's teaching you must be born again. And this is the truth. This is there's only one gospel. There's not a gospel for the Jews and a gospel for the Gentiles. There's not Jesus preached the gospel of the kingdom and then he talked about the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. There must be four or five different ways to have this gospel. It's one gospel. You take this, and Paul says, you've heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure, because I was out of bounds. He says, I went after people I never should have went after. I persecuted them beyond measure, tried to destroy it, tried to devastate it. And I advanced in Judaism, and I was good at it. In fact, I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my fathers. How did Jesus confront the traditions of, well, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Jesus, the Son of God, who made the Sabbath, comes healing on the Sabbath, and that's where they have this whole conflict. And, well, he can't be of God because he is doing work on the Sabbath. The one who made the Sabbath, I'll stick with him. I'll listen to what he reveals. See, this, Paul says, I was zealous. I advanced. But then something happened. Verse 15, he says, when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace. Now, I like this because you probably thought he would go back on the road to Damascus when I met Jesus in that bright shining light, brighter than the noon. How can there be a bright shining light that's brighter than the sun at noon? And that's kind of the idea. I was in darkness and this bright light shined in my life. He doesn't go there. He says, it pleased God. when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb. What are you hearing? I was born, but he's describing, I believe he's describing, I needed to be born again. It pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace. Oh, I was born once. And I was born into Judaism, and I did all that, the traditions, I did it all, and I did it well. How many people have you encountered? I was born a Lutheran, I will die a Lutheran. I was born a Baptist, I'll die a Baptist. I was born a Catholic, I'll die a Catholic. And I just keep pleading, well, can't Catholics be saved? Can't Lutherans be saved? Can't? And I just keep offering this up. You know, and so the truth is, and Paul says, it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb. He called me through his grace to reveal his son in me. I'm born again. And this is like Jesus, Nicodemus. How, Nicodemus, you're a teacher of Israel. How do you not understand that everyone is born dead and they need the life of Christ Jesus? You must be born again. And how does that come to you? By his grace. Called me through his grace. Again, not works, not traditions, the grace of God in Christ Jesus, that God gave his son on the cross, reached all the way down, demonstrating his love that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And he writes this, being separated from my mother's womb. He goes way back. He says, called me through his grace to reveal his son in me. Isn't this your desire? It's my desire that not only would Christ be in me, right? Again, that's the mystery. Again, Colossians 1:27, this glorious mystery, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Born from above, Spirit of Jesus comes and lives in you. Christ is in you. This never before was realized. It was revealed. It's hidden. It's concealed in the Old Testament. But it's revealed now in Jesus Christ that one would be born again, that the living God would live in you. And this is Paul's description. It pleased God to reveal his son in me, called me through his grace to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the Gentiles. Can you imagine that? Going and telling people who didn't worship the living God that, let me tell you about the living God. How do you know he's the living God? Well, let me tell you, he's in me. What? He died on the cross and rose again. How do you know he's alive? Well, he's in me. And you start to realize this is not logic. This is not who has the greater argument, who can speak the better words. It's this revelation of this truth that when you believe and receive Jesus, he comes and lives in you. And this is Paul. If Paul yields on any of this, if Paul says it's anything else, he says, he called me through his grace, reveal his son in me. What is he saying? I used to persecute and kill those that I now became one of. How do you explain that? That's the only thing he has. It pleased God. Through his grace, he called me, revealed his son in me, that which I was trying to kill, I would kill me if it was me now. He says, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood. Here's a great truth, right? You're not saved by Jesus Christ when you realize that you're saved by Jesus Christ. Right? That's not the point of salvation. He saves you the moment you what? You hear the gospel? You believe it and receive it. It doesn't come later and say, well, now that I've come to the learning and now I understand what I did. No. Paul says, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood. All he knew was, who are you, Lord? See? I did not confer with flesh and blood, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me. He says, I went to Arabia. Now, for 3 years, he's out meeting with the Lord, and Jesus himself is teaching and giving revelation to him. How important is it us to do what? Study the scriptures. See, this revelation of Jesus Christ by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit is written into the scriptures. Why is a warning like this important? Because many have gone on to, you have to, how do you sort those? Is it of God? Is it of man? Someone's instructing you in something you should do. What's my instruction to you? Be spirit-filled in all ministry. Is it the Holy Spirit? Test the spirits. Is this God? Is this from God? Is it from man? Paul says, He wouldn't confer with flesh and blood over the revelation of this gospel of Christ that he received, that Christ is in him. Can you imagine when that revelation hit Paul, the Pharisee? Right? Outwardly working on his righteousness better than everybody else, proclaiming a self-righteousness, only to find out he's full of dead man's bones. And he says, and now the righteousness in me, God wants to reveal it from the inside out. I'm going to stick with the scriptures. I'm not going to leave them. And I want to learn this and I want to have it. And you know, Paul says he returns to Damascus, and after 3 years, he goes up to Jerusalem, met with Peter, remained with him 15 days. He said, I didn't see the other apostles. This was not cleverly contrived, you know, ways to take this teaching out into the world to get more people and more money for our organization. It's intriguing to me to see how prosperous Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons become, because they have a different gospel, which is not a gospel. Because they have a different Jesus, which is not Jesus. And if you change Jesus, you can't be saved. Just like, you know, many would love to change church. I like everything about church except the way you teach on this one point. Well, then you might as well just not like church. Because the sincere approach is, here's the scripture. It's the Spirit teaches this. We're sincerely trying to draw the meaning out of the understanding of the scriptures, and we're trying to do it in truth. I like what Paul says in 20. He says, concerning the things which I write to you, indeed before God I do not lie. He says, this is how it went down. Okay? This is from God. See, and every one of you, I encourage you, make your choice. If church, right, Jesus is the head of this church, and that the Spirit of God has filled up his church, is that the ringtone when Lisa calls you? Is that the ringtone when your wife calls you? You don't want to miss the call? There you go. All right, where was I? What's that? Yeah. Is this from God? Is this the Holy Spirit? Right? Is it the Holy Spirit working in you? And is it the Holy Spirit putting Jesus and the love of God and the grace? We don't twist the grace of God here. We do not teach the grace of God by doctrines of men. We preserve that the grace revealed in the Scripture. We don't put a filter upon the Scriptures. This grace of God that's in Christ Jesus is available. This baptism with the Holy Spirit that the Scriptures talk about is available. Right? Godliness, righteousness, holiness, all those things. Someone's going to come in and try to trouble you that it's legalistic or it's whatever words they might use. I expect that. He says, but before God, I do not lie. So my decision, I encourage you, decide if the Holy Spirit's in this. See, you decide if Christ dwells in his church here. And I, again, this is what Paul says. Afterward, I went into the regions of Syria, Cilicia. He says, I was unknown by face to the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. Do you hear what he just said? I studied in Jerusalem. I was a Pharisee. I got saved. And I went out and I was taught by Christ. I did not go to the church or the schools in Jerusalem. They didn't even know who I was. He says, that which I teach came from God. What are we really longing for? I think we're longing for the genuine and true life of Christ in us, that it would not just be revealed to ourselves, but that others would see that Christ is in us by the way that we live our lives. Unknown to the churches. I guess there was no ApostlePaul.com website promoting his latest book, Letter to the Churches of Galatia. Oh, a must read. It hit the New York Best Times seller list. So what am I going to say to all of you? Read your Bibles and pray. It's my heart's desire for you. Jesus is that wonderful. The grace of God is amazing. The life that he gives. You know what Paul's offering up? He says, I used to kill, persecute. He says, So something happened to me, and you got to deal with what I'm saying to you. I'm saying Jesus saved me. He put his life in me, and he sent me forth to preach this good news to all the other Gentiles. He says, don't turn away from Jesus. If anybody comes and says anything else, you don't fall for it. If anybody changes that which you, when you first believed and received Jesus and you knew that he forgave your sins. You remember how that went when you prayed to receive Jesus? And he forgave you your sins. I have that. If anybody comes along and says my sins weren't forgiven on that day, right, you mean I got to, what do I need to do again to get those sins to go away? No, he already washed them clean. Or if anybody says, well, now that your sins are washed clean, you don't have to ask for forgiveness anymore. What? You stop sinning? No, you see how if something's troubling you, there's a reason why it's troubling you, because it's wrong. But if it's the conviction of the Holy Spirit, that'll bring you closer to Jesus. See, when someone troubles you to get you away from Christ, it's wrong for you. Okay? Probably should wrap up here. But they were hearing only, he who formerly persecuted us now preaches the faith which he once tried to destroy. Now, hear this with me. If Paul takes the gospel of Jesus Christ to the churches of Galatia, why didn't he tell them about circumcision and becoming a Jew? If they're going to fall for that one. Oh, you didn't know that. I love this. I told all my children, because we wanted to introduce the world to them and not have their morals learned from their peers. So I just said to them, when you find out one day what's all out in the world, don't say, well, Mom and Dad, why didn't you didn't know about this? No, we knew about it. We kept it from you. What's Paul saying? Paul preached Christ. He didn't preach circumcision. He didn't preach, right? He didn't preach works-based. Okay, and this whole thing, the testimony is the one who formerly persecuted us now preaches the faith which he tried to destroy. I'm going to listen to him. What happened to him? See, you must be born again. Nicodemus, you're a teacher of Israel. You don't know this? I'm going to listen to the one who taught you must be born again. You know that Jesus who teaches that, teaches the exact same the gospel that he delivered to Paul to take out? See, and I keep this, and they glorified God in me. And they glorified God in Calvary Chapel, Fargo. And they glorified God in each and every one of our lives. And they praised God for the transformation. Instead of turning away to another doctrine of which is not a gospel and a different gospel and transferring to that, it says, you know what? Let our lives be transferred out of the kingdom of darkness into light, and let the light shine that we no longer are into fornication, hatred, we're no longer sinning after all these ways, and we walk in love, and the life of Christ is revealed in us, and now they see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. That's the Apostle Paul's opening chapter. So, Father in heaven, we come today to receive the fullness of your grace in Christ Jesus, that you called us in Christ Jesus. We heard the gospel. We believed, we received. You saved us by grace. We cannot improve upon that. We can't add to it. We can't take away from it. We can receive it. And we rejoice in the fullness of God in Christ Jesus has been put into us by regeneration. We are born again by the grace of God. And may it please you now to have a church filled up with Jesus. May it please you to reveal the Son of God in us. Lord, may it be known that this is of God and not of man. We humble ourselves and say, you did this. And we believe you and we receive you. May your Spirit now come upon us. Lord, we heed that warning. We know what's coming. We know chapter 3. We don't want to be foolish. We don't want to be foolish and try to perfect in the flesh. So, Lord, today our commitment as we begin this letter is to be in Christ, be filled up with Christ Jesus, and continue in the Spirit of Christ Jesus. And this I pray in Jesus' name.